Hello, welcome back. This is the Advisor Pack Monthly Session. I'm Mark Little. We have quite a few questions that have come in this month. This is the Advisor Pact program where we review and discuss how to implement truly comprehensive financial services so that you can make an Advisor Pact pledge with each and every one of your ideal clients. So, today's issues, I want to show you up front what we're going to be dealing with today, and then I'll circle back and we'll hit each one of them one at a time. But we're going to have to put on our track shoes to hit all these issues today. Normally what I do is I select from among all the questions that were submitted the best questions that I think would help the most people. So these are the five questions that I selected for this month, and let's get right to it. I've scheduled a strategic planning session with my entire team in 2 weeks. I want us to brainstorm how to add more value to our ideal clients' financial lives. Bravo, by the way. It's an excellent idea. We recommend that you do this periodically, at least annually. Some of the best advisors we work with sit down more than once a year and do what you're doing. But I also want to set the vision for truly comprehensive financial services so that everyone is on the same page. Any thoughts? Well, as luck would have it, I do have some thoughts. I'm going to walk you through, we've done this before, by the way, and I've provided you with other ways to do this. So I would encourage you to go back through the Advisor Pack Monthly Archive and look for this topic because I've dealt with this question before. And by the way, as you go back through the archive, you can look on the video player for past sessions and look at the questions that were submitted. And on the player itself, you can just click on the question if all you want to hear is the response to one question. So go back through the archive and look for this. But I will go through this right now. And you might take some notes. I mean, this is just one way to set the vision and explain to your team what you're doing so that you're on the same page. It's important that you let them know that the standard is truly comprehensive financial services and that you have made an advisor pact pledge to each and every client where you're pledging protection, you're pledging your team will pay close attention to their financial lives. You've pledged coordination so that our team will coordinate with all the other financial people in the client's life so that every recommendation is fully coordinated, well coordinated, perfectly aligned with the client's overarching plan. And full transparency. There will not be any hidden fees. The clients will know what everything costs. So here's one way to explain this to your team. So delivering on the promise of truly comprehensive financial services is a team effort. But the good news is there's really only four steps to implementing this vision. Now, let's go through it in a little closer detail. But as you know, we're building a team. We're building a team of skilled subject matter experts to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. We've committed internally to deliver an extraordinary client experience. That will take some thought. That's the purpose of our meeting today. But at the end of the day, the client has always had financial people in their lives, and our goal as a team is to become the most trusted advisor in the client's lives. And so these are the four tactical steps for delivering on the promise of our advisor pact pledge to the client. And by the way, it's important that we hit all these steps. So as a team, we have to talk about how do we implement each of these steps thoroughly. We cannot miss any of these steps because our goal is to become a financial services monopoly. And by implementing these four steps, we will be the only game in town. There is no other business in that our potential clients could approach that have put all these four pieces together. So our goal is to become the only game in town. And it's going to require implementing each of these four steps in sequence. So let's look at them one at a time. As you know, we're building a team of highly skilled subject matter experts. My goal is to make sure that this team is fully subscribed, that we have five subject matter experts in each of the five areas of personal finance, and not just individuals who are technically skilled. There are a lot of highly technically skilled tacticians in each of these five areas. I recognize this. What's important to this team and what makes this team special is that in addition to being highly skilled within your narrow field of finance, there are two things that make you different. One is you think strategically, not just as a tactician, but you're looking at how the client can plan in each of these five narrow fields of finance in order to accomplish their financial objectives, to make smart choices about their money, and to be so proactive that nothing ever blows up and that the client's always taking advantage of opportunities that most clients would miss. So what makes you different is that you're strategic. And the other thing that makes you different is you collaborate with each other. You're good team players. You're on this team because you've stated a willingness and an interest in serving on a team like this and collaborating with other complementary fields of finance to make sure that the client's financial house is in perfect order. So we not only have a team, but we have a team that talks to each other. And that is different. That's unique. So let's talk about implementing truly comprehensive financial services. That's something that clients are definitely not used to. They may have people in their lives in each of the five major areas of finance, but they don't have anybody to coordinate it and to establish an overarching strategy and make sure that every recommendation is perfectly aligned with the strategy. So our skilled team of subject matter experts is going to coordinate all aspects of our ideal client's financial affairs. And when a client asks me, what won't your team do regarding my financial life? I want to be able to answer nothing. So part of our job today is to figure out traditionally, what are you not used to doing? For example, in the past, we have not, what if a client came to us and said, will you balance my checkbook for me each month? Can you make sure that my bills get paid so that my utilities don't get turned off? I want this team to always be able to say, yes, we can figure out how to get that done, no matter what it is. So when we say truly comprehensive financial services, I want our team to be thinking way ahead regarding services we do currently. We're currently in a good position to provide, and also to start brainstorming and thinking about all areas of personal finance and to project and think about those areas of personal finance that we typically don't deal with. But those areas that, if they're not well coordinated and not done properly, could have a substantial negative impact on the client's life. So we need to start thinking about how to define truly comprehensive financial services in a way that I can tell a client there's nothing that we won't potentially be willing to get done, make sure gets done for you in your financial life. And we're going to do all this with our team and delivering truly comprehensive financial services in a way that's extraordinary. So the big challenge today is to figure out how are we going to deliver an extraordinary client experience. The commitment I'm looking for on this team is that no team member is going to stop thinking of ways to increase value to clients until two things happen. One is we look at every ideal client in the eye and they tell us, you and your team are indispensable to me. So we keep increasing client value. We keep brainstorming and meeting like this today until we've figured out how every ideal client will view us as indispensable. And secondly, we know this for sure. If our team is so good, then our clients won't be able to resist introducing us to everybody that they know. So the outcome of delivering an extraordinary client experience is that the services that we're providing is so remarkable that each and every ideal client can't resist remarking about us to everyone they know and love and care about. So I'll know that this team is doing its job when I see our referral rates increase. When I'm meeting with new potential clients every day, then I'll know that we're delivering an extraordinary client experience. And then finally, the client has had financial people in their life for many years, most for decades. You know, they have an accountant, they have their money parked somewhere, even if it's in the bank. So they've got somebody that they're dealing with where their money is located. They've got insurance agents. Most of them have wills and trusts. And so they've got a lawyer or somebody that they've dealt with in the past. Our job as a team, and we know we've arrived when we are viewed as the most trusted advisor, that among all the clients' various financial advisors, we're not only indispensable, but ideal clients tell us they'd be lost without us. And that's when we know we are, as a team, we are the most trusted advisor. And at the end of all that, putting these four pieces together, that is where we will become a financial services monopoly. We'll be the only game in town, so that for what we do for potential clients, they have no other option than utilizing us, because we're the only business in town that has pulled all this together. So I want to leave you with this. Yes, it's four steps. Yes, it's going to require substantial effort to get there. But I just want to tell you that the reason you're sitting here and the reason that you've been asked to join this team is because I know you can do this. It's nothing more than a step-by-step process. Together, we'll piece it together, and together, we'll develop a financial services monopoly. Now, that brief presentation is very short. It helps you establish the vision with your team. And what I'm going to do is, if you'll look on the replay page for this session, I've taken just those last few slides that I've covered, and I've created an individual PDF. So if you're having this strategic planning session with your subject matter experts and with the other key members of your team to discuss how to increase value to clients, so that you can deliver on the promise of truly comprehensive financial services, feel free to use this PDF. Print it out, use it with your team, and this will help you establish a vision so that everybody's on the same page. This question from a newer advisor to the program. I know with Advisor PACT that PACT is an acronym. Could you run through each of the items in the acronym? With pleasure. At some point during every Advisor PACT monthly program session, we do this. So I'm happy to do it right now. So you're going to make an Advisor PACT pledge with each and every ideal client. PACT is an acronym. It stands for Protection, Attention, Coordination, and Transparency. Let's look at each one of them individually, and then I'll tell you the way that I actually convey this pledge to individuals in their initial client interview, so that once I've invited a client to join our ideal client community, and they raise their hand and say, yes, I'd like to join, I'd like to become a member of your ideal client community, I'll wrap all this section up by sharing with you exactly how I make this pledge to new ideal clients. Okay, so the first of the four client expectations, and by the way, if you're curious where this Advisor PACT came from, it was a process. We sat down in between the years 2000 and 2002. And what started off as just an internal project has turned into a lifelong mission. What we did originally was I record every single initial client interview. And of course, we recommend that you record all meetings, internal and external, with both clients and with staff, just record everything for training purposes. But we record our initial client interviews, of course. And as a project in 2002, I had my administrative team pull 200 of the best initial client interviews. And to fast forward to the end of the recording, where after the client had hired us, and I always ask the question, so what are your expectations of this relationship? You know, if we're sitting here a year from now looking back on this first year of us working together, what happened? If you're sitting here a year from now saying, this is remarkable, I find your team to be indispensable, you know, this is everything I've always wanted in a relationship with a financial advisor. And so I always ask clients that. And so this is what their expectations are of a relationship like this. And so where these four client expectations came from, where the advisor pact came from, is in listening to these 200 recordings, a theme quickly developed. That these were the four things that they said these things in different ways. So every client has a different way of describing these four things. But nevertheless, these were the four things that kept coming up over and over and over and over again. And by the way, and then in the subsequent roughly last 15 years, we have data on this. So it occurred to us that there was not a lot of training about this in our industry. Everything in our industry has to do with tactics and sales ideas and things like that. And there was nothing, literally nothing on, you know, if I were to redesign my business and focus it entirely on the way clients want the relationship to be. And by the way, change the business model around so that I'm focusing my services on a model that clients, affluent clients, are willing to pay the most for. Well, it turns out these are the four things. So it started off as an internal project with 200 recordings. We then turned it into a lifelong project where we now have data confirming this. And basically, just to top it off, my very good friend Rick Barrera and I are doing are launching a podcast called The Financial Advisor Show. Now, it's not available yet. However, we've interviewed a dozen multimillionaires. And so through the initial listening to these 200 recordings and all the data that we've had over the last roughly 10 years, more than 10 years, and then in interview after interview with these wealthy multimillionaires, I can tell you with authority, these are the four client expectations. Or if I were to put it another way, these are the four things that clients want the most, yet claim they can't find anywhere at any price. And they'd be willing, those that are actually looking for comprehensive financial services, they would be willing to pay a premium if they could only find these four things. And so that's how we built Advisor Pact. Now let's look at each one individually. Let's start with protection. What is protection? Well, you filter everything that you think of doing for a client through each of these four words. Protection, in part, means a pledge to police every financial product and every financial person in the client's life in order to identify and expose any and all potential conflicts of interest. Nobody has ever offered to do this for clients. They may be telling clients, I will protect you with regard to the investments that I recommend. But, you know, nobody's ever come to them and said, you know, I will be the policeman. I will protect you. I will look at every financial product. I will examine every financial person in your life. And I'm going to look for conflicts of interest. I'm going to actively look. I'm going to be the policeman on the beat. And I promise to you that I will identify and flush out every conflict of interest. I'll make sure that nobody on the team is actually profiting from their own recommendations, or if they are, I'm going to disclose it. And this would be the commission people, like the insurance agents. It's not necessarily bad. What you're promising is to protect the client and to to disclose conflicts of interest, and if someone is recommending something, to make sure that it's aligned with the overall strategy for this client, and to determine if or if not the conflict of interest is working against the client or not. You've got their back. Basically, your promise is also that if there's a fraudulent investment in the portfolio, you're going to either have or work to develop a professional process that's going to expose and eliminate it before it blows up. Think Bernie Madoff. I spent 4 years studying what happened with Bernie Madoff. It fascinated me. There were clients, there were articles in the Wall Street Journal, and I subsequently read quite a bit and did research on clients who were considering using Bernie Madoff, but they had some financial advisor in between that examined Bernie Madoff and then subsequently recommended not to use Bernie Madoff because it was pretty easy to identify the weak points if you knew what you were looking for. And so it was tragic, all the money that was lost investing with Bernie Madoff. And there are all these Ponzi schemes and fraudulent investments all the time. I get the circulars regularly from our regulators describing these scams. But the one thing that you're pledging to do is to either have or develop a process, and you'll make a study of how clients can be protected from these kinds of things. And I think what you'll learn is it's easier than it looks. And we've actually have clients that we've worked with that we have protected from fraud. I've told this story before, so I won't tell it again here. You can go back through the archive and listen to past episodes and find that discussion. But, client comes in new to your client community. They've got existing investments. We have a process in place that we've developed to examine existing investments. And in one case, we flagged an investment that looked, well, we just had a lot of questions and not a lot of answers regarding a particular investment, ultimately got the client out. And then years later, the sponsor of that investment was, let off in handcuffs. And it was roughly $250,000 investment for this client. So anyway, that's your pledge. Protection. Everything that you do is thought of through the filter of, does this protect the client? Attention. You have a process in place to identify in real time those predictable times when an ideal client's strategy drifts off course, even slightly. You explain to a client that it's normal. Things happen. The markets go up and down. Client circumstances change over time. Things are going to drift off course. It's normal. What's different about you and your team is you're paying close attention. And when you notice when a client's strategy drifts off course even a little, you'll always be right there with a recommendation of what's required to get things back on track. So you commit to recommending the necessary course corrections required in more or less real time. Of course, in our process, we meet every 4 months with every client. We call this the three-meeting process, and that's real time. So you're meeting with clients 3 times a year, at least once every 4 months. Client knows when they're going to meet with their financial advisor next, and they can rely on the fact that you're paying close attention and that at each of these meetings, if things have drifted off course or if something has happened, your team has committed to coming in with the required recommendations to get back on track. Coordination. Your pledge is to coordinate all the financial products and all the financial people in the client's life. You're going to coordinate other team members to ensure that every recommendation is perfectly aligned with the overarching strategy before the recommendation is made. Clients know that this has never been done before. They've had financial advisors before, but these advisors never pick up the phone and talk to the other people on their team. Client has a tax accountant for 20 years. Client has an estate planning lawyer for 10 or 20 years. They have insurance agents they've had forever. They're getting recommendations from all these people. Question on the table is, who has ever coordinated with these people to make sure that all these recommendations, as they're coming in from each of these individual professionals, who's ever policing it to make sure that it's perfectly aligned with the overarching plan? Well, here you come in. You not only come in with something that most clients lack, which is an overarching plan, but you're going to be committing to coordinate with all the other professionals on the client's team to make sure that before any recommendation is made, you and your team see it and compare it against the overarching strategy to ensure that every recommendation in the client's life is well aligned with the overarching strategy. And you're going to ensure that every other professional on the team reviews the work of the others before they see it. So this is something very unique. Clients know this up front, that nobody's ever done this before, and that's peer review. So let's say the insurance agent makes a recommendation. Let's say the tax accountant that's been working for the client for 20 years recommends a tax strategy. Who says that's the best strategy? Of all the recommendations that could be made to this client, who says that's the one that's the best, most suitable recommendation for this client at this point in their life? Well, now here you come in with a team. You're coordinating all these things. You get to see these recommendations before the client does. And your team commits to reviewing the work of all the others. So now you have some peer review, so that even if a member of your team makes a recommendation to one of your ideal clients, the commitment is the others on the team are going to look at that recommendation and ask challenging questions. Not to confront other team members, but rather a collegial relationship like doctors often have, where they're talking about the patient and they're brainstorming different options, and they're in a friendly, collegial way, they are challenging the assumptions of the recommendations that are being made so that we're testing everything by fire. Well, let me tell you, that is unheard of. Clients are not used to this kind of oversight, and this is something you're coming to the table with that no other team has ever offered to the client, a level of coordination and oversight that's frankly never been in existence. And finally, transparency. A promise to report on all costs annually for each and every client. No, nobody is typically for a client offered to do this. And it's not just all costs that are easy to find. Your pledge is to go in into the investments, into the insurance, for example, and flush out and disclose any and all hidden costs. So you're going to not only report on all costs, you're going to dig, and your commitment is to find costs that are hard to find, hidden, in fact. And you're going to disclose these all to clients. And what we recommend is that you commit to a simple transparency report. It's actually two reports that you update for clients regularly. The first report is on each financial product. So you've got a list of everything the client owns, each investment, each financial product, insurance and investments and whatever. The first report is going to report by product, and it's going to project what that product is going to cost the client over the next 12 months. We call that a transparency report by product. The second report that we recommend that you put together is called a transparency report by team member. So you'll report on every individual on the team, everybody on your team. Maybe that's all attributable to one cost, one fee that you charge for all the services you do. So you've got to be on this report. But if the client's got implementation experts, tacticians, somebody doing their taxes, somebody creating their wills and trusts, these are the people that have worked for the client for decades, insurance agents that have been in place forever. You're going to flesh out what each of the individuals are going to make. So you're going to figure out what every individual on the team is estimated to earn, their total compensation attributable to the client and to their firm over the next 12 months. So you're going to pledge full transparency. You're going to flush out all costs, and you're going to report to the client exactly what they're paying, and you're going to estimate it at all times. You're going to estimate it over the next 12 months. Now, we recommend that you update these two reports at least annually, but that you bring this report to every meeting. And if you notice something change significantly, like there's a new recommendation that's going to cost the client something, then it's a good standard to update the report mid-year whenever there are substantial changes. Well, protection, attention, coordination, transparency. That is the advisor pact. And your advisor pact takes the form of a pledge to every ideal client. Protection, attention, coordination, and transparency. So I promised you that I would tell you how I actually make this pledge to clients when it's a new relationship and I'm making the pledge. Here's how we do it. Here's how we recommend do it. You look a new client in the eye and you say something like, I promise to deliver truly comprehensive financial services and provide oversight over all of your financial affairs under a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy that I promise we will keep updated at all times. I pledge to protect your assets. And not only your assets, I will protect your financial vision. I've got your back, and I'm going to work to identify every potential conflict of interest in your financial life. I pledge to pay close attention to your financial situation and to proactively recommend all the course corrections that are going to be required for you to remain on track to your objectives. What's it worth to you to know at all times that you're on track to your goals, or if things drift off track, that you can rely on your financial advisor to make recommendations to get you back on track? I pledge to coordinate all the financial people in your life and all the financial products in your life so that every financial recommendation is perfectly aligned with your comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. And finally, I pledge that you will fully understand at all times what every financial person and every financial product is going to cost you over the next 12 months. You will never again have any hidden financial fees in your financial life. I'll make sure of that. So this is how the pledge takes form. This is how the pledge takes life. And this is how you make these commitments upfront in the initial meeting with the client once they've become a member of your ideal client community. Okay, this question coming from an advisor who's been in the program about 7 months. My compliance department has questions about my new fee. In elevating my services to comprehensive financial services through the Advisor Pack methodology, I'm now raising my fee for ideal clients to $27,000 per year. Prior to this, my highest service level was $6,000 per year plus a percentage of assets under management. So this advisor is switching from a percentage of assets under management model to a $27,000 per year flat fee for clients. And by the way, this particular advisor has set as a goal 100 ideal clients. So this advisor has done the math and created their own financial plan and figured, you know, if they have 100 clients paying them $27,000 per year, they're probably doing all right. No, more seriously, at that level, they've fully funded their own personal financial plan. So the question is, how do I explain such a large jump in my compensation to my compliance people? Well, it's pretty simple. Here's the business structure. The thing you need to have in mind and keep in your head is that as you're working with your team of subject matter experts, to develop all your deliverables checkpoints in each of the five areas of personal finance. So you're gonna develop deliverables checkpoints for tax, financial planning, estate planning, insurance, and money management. So those are the five areas of personal finance. And the thing you need to know is that as you look at all those things that you're gonna be doing annually for every client, you're going to be providing two types of advice to each ideal client. You're going to be providing some pieces of investment advice, yes. But you're also going to be providing a lot of non-investment advice. You know, the auto insurance, the homeowner's insurance, estate planning, a lot of things that have nothing to do with investment advice. So it's different for different teams, but roughly right, it almost always turns out that about 20% of your advice ends up being investment advice. And about 80% of your advice ends up being what let's call non-investment advice. So in our case, for example, like members of our other program, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, in that program, we actually provide the 142 deliverables checkpoints. And when you examine the 142 deliverables checkpoints that every ideal client who's operating our system makes sure gets completed for each and every client once a year, it works out almost exactly that of the 142 deliverables checkpoints on the checklist of things we do for ideal clients each year, about 20% represent investment advice that we're giving. And 80% of the things on the checklist end up being non-investment advice. Now, that's important for this reason. If 20% of the advice that you give is investment advice, then we recommend that you deliver that advice through a registered investment advisor, or let's say through an investment firm. Okay, so we say if you're not in the U.S., it could be through your dealer group. If you're elsewhere other than in the United States, the point is that this 20% of the advice is run through the regulated entity, the entity that is set up to deliver investment advice. And all of you should have that. If you don't have an entity that is set up to provide investment advice, then you need to hire someone that is set up this way, because roughly 20% of your advice will be investment advice. Now, the question is, in the U.S., at least, do you set up your own registered investment advisor, or do you just use the one that's provided by your firm? Well, we don't have a horse in that race. I will tell you that the most successful advisors recognize somewhere along the line that it's pretty easy to set up a registered investment advisor. It's roughly $10,000 in 10 weeks. And if you're really resourceful, you can do it in half that time and for half that money. But the point is, at some point, you may want to set up your own RIA. It seems to be the best way to do it. But until then, for now, you absolutely can do it through your firm, and most do, okay? So 20% of the advice is run through your investment entity that you've got set up, and you run 20% of your fee through that entity. So, you know, you've got a, you know, let's say you've got a 20, you know, what did you say, $27,000 fee? So of that $27,000 fee, 20% is $5,400. Let me check my math here. Yeah. No, sorry. Let's do it together. $27,000, I think, is what you said your annual fee is going to be. So if 20% of the advice is investment advice, then you'll run 20% of your fee, or $5,400 of the $27,000, through the registered investment advisor entity. That's what you tell your compliance people. And so then if 80% of your advice is being run is non-investment advice, then that advice is delivered from an outside business activity, another entity. So we do recommend that you set up an entity for your outside business activity. And then you run 80% of your fee through that outside business activity. So in this case, $27,000, 80% of that fee is $21,600. It's the balance. So you run that through your outside business activity. And that comprises your fee. There's basically two bills to the client, one for investment advice, one for non-investment advice. And so therefore, you'll be compensated through two separate entities. And it's far cleaner from a compliance standpoint to do it this way. That's what you tell your compliance people. Now, there is a bigger issue here that I want you to think about. As you're moving your compensation from roughly $6,000 a year to $27,000 a year, here's the better question after you get past all the compliance issues. That's all details, which you will hammer out with them. And by the way, if you're working through the investment advice through an existing firm, if you don't set up your own firm to do this, let's go back here for just a second. It's funny, your existing compliance department, you know, these people have a funny way of deciding what is and is not investment advice. So you're going to have to provide the entire list of deliverables typically to your compliance people. In other words, in our case, in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, we recommend advisors show the compliance people all 142 deliverables checkpoints. As a matter of fact, on the toolkit, my team often is the one that communicates directly with the compliance people to help them understand this concept. And then the compliance department decides for themselves which of the 104, which of the deliverables checkpoints are investment advice and which are non-investment advice. They have this funny way of wanting to decide for themselves what they want to regulate and what is kind of beyond the scope of their investment advice regulation. But even once this is clear, if you're working through a firm, they may still want a piece of that 80%, even though they will admit that it's not investment advice and they really have no, you know, authority over that area. But nevertheless, because of your agreement with them or whatever, they may decide that they still want a piece of that action. I don't have any comment about that. It's whatever deal you've set up with your firm. However, I can tell you that it's for that reason right there and many others is what drives advisors to want to set up their own RIA, because then once you have your own RIA and you've eliminated the broker-dealer and the compliance department and all of them, then at that point, you hire your own compliance consultant and it's your compliance consultant on your payroll in conversation with your securities lawyer that you've hired to set up your RIA. It's really that team that you compensate whose job it is to protect you and make sure that you properly draw these lines very crisply. And so that it's clear of all the deliverables checkpoints, in the case of the toolkit, 142 deliverables checkpoints, it's your team that decides which is the investment advice, let's say 20% of it, and which is the non-investment advice. And it's your compliance team that you own that's charged with keeping you safe. It's that team that's going to consult with you and let you decide how to split the fee. So it may not be 20, 80, 20. It may be, 21, 79 or some other percentage, but you're in control of it as opposed to your firm. And that's why most advisors ultimately decide to set up their own firm. But the bigger issue, I think, the mission objective is now that you've set your fee and your compensation at $27,000 a year, that means that you now have a mission objective that you really need to focus your team on. That now that you have a client paying you $27,000 a year, your mission objective is to deliver on the promise of truly comprehensive financial services through a skilled team of experts at a very high level, a level that's worth $27,000 per year. And that you're making a commitment to deliver an extraordinary client experience. And you and your team, the fun part of this process is you get to work together to decide what that means, and you measure the success through your clients. Your clients tell you if you're delivering an extraordinary client experience. And how do they do that? By telling you you're indispensable. You'll know when you deliver certain pieces of advice and the client is just shaking their head saying, I would have never thought of that. My team would have never recommended that before. This is amazing. You're indispensable. So you'll know when you've delivered an extraordinary client experience because your clients will tell you. And then finally, your mission objective is to basically, the bottom line is, make sure that when your ideal clients walk out of each meeting, and keep in mind, in our methodology, you're committing to the 3-meeting process. So you're going to be meeting with clients 3 times a year, once every 4 months. You're charging $27,000 per year. So now your mission objective is that when a client walks out of a meeting, they're thinking that meeting was important, that there was a compelling reason to meet, and they're thinking that meeting was actually worth $9,000 to me. So each of the meetings is now worth $9,000, and it's your job to make sure that it's worth it. How do I ensure my team of subject matter experts delivers at a level which will impress my ideal clients? I've now acquired 4 out of my 5 subject matter experts that I will acquire, and one of them is definitely not impressive, as it turns out. Misses deadlines, the recommendations are boilerplate, and this SME is otherwise unremarkable. Hard for me to see clients introducing me to all their friends with this particular subject matter expert on our team. Well, the question is, you know, what do you do? And I can tell you that the number one thing that if an advisor is failing to get traction with the advisor pack methodology, and we sit down and we dissect and look at why that is, the number one reason that an advisor might not get traction with this methodology is that they allow this type of thing to continue too long. You're much better off when you're at the point you're at right now, which is pretty much upfront. You know, you've just been in the system for less than 6 months. You've already got 4 of your 5 subject matter experts on board. That's good progress. But now you're already thinking one of them is not as good as I thought they were when we first interviewed them. And the mistake most advisors make in our system is to just try to keep working with them to work it out. The way you solve this and protect your business and your vision is something that we call controlled turnover. That it's your job to spot just what you've spotted. It's your job to spot whether subject matter experts are performing at the high standards that will actually impress clients. And if they are, then you continue with them, of course. And if they're not, it's your job to get them off the team and replace them as quickly as possible. And that's very hard, not just for financial advisors, but for business owners in general. It's just one of the most unpleasant parts of owning a business. It's this controlled turnover, making a decision that somebody's not sitting on the right seat in the bus, or we need to get them off the bus because they're kind of pulling down the team and the effort. What you need to be thinking is your clients deserve A players, and it's their job, your subject matter experts, each of your subject matter experts, it's their job, not yours, to produce a quality work product, which is going to be both stunning and remarkable to your ideal clients. So as it turns out, the standard that you're setting is a high standard for your team. And the standard is, we're going to keep adding value until the client tells us they're impressed. So it's a client standard. Not us as a team thinking, this is good enough, this is what we're willing to do for the amount of fee that we're getting for the client. No, it's flipped around the other way. We're going to keep pushing until the clients tell us that we're remarkable, that we're indispensable. And we're not going to stop until that happens. And my point is, that's their responsibility. That's your subject matter expert. That's your team's responsibility, not yours, to produce a quality of work which is going to be impressive to your clients. What it's your job to do. So then what's your responsibility? Well, it's your responsibility to give them what they need to do their work. So they need the information and the documents required from the clients to do their job. And they may need other things. So you need to keep the line of communication open with each individual subject matter expert to make sure They've got what they need to do their job. And then it's your job to encourage and support your subject matter experts. I'm not proposing that you be a hard ass or a jerk. I'm proposing that you hold them accountable, that up front you make it clear before any subject matter expert joins the team that the job's not done until the client says it's done. We're not going to stop improving value to clients until the client's impressed. And if you're so good as a subject matter expert, then no problem. Then at some point, the client is going to look at me and say, this team is indispensable. And by the way, they're going to be pointing to work that you've done as an individual subject matter expert and singing your praises. They're going to be looking at work you've produced and they're going to be telling me, this is amazing. So it's your job to show each subject matter expert that you have confidence in them to perform, but ultimately it's their job to perform and to perform at levels that are impressive to clients. So let's pause a minute and talk about the three-meeting process. I just want to get this concept in place and then we'll move on. So in our process, you know, each month you get a monthly project. So if you're new to the system and you don't know about the three-meeting process, it will be one of your monthly projects that comes out in sequence in this program. So the three-meeting process, once you're exposed to it and you implement this and you install the three-meeting process for ideal clients, this is the meeting process that we put in place to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. There are three meetings, obviously, in the three-meeting process: the comprehensive safety review, the goal progress outlook, and the annual review. You'll have these three meetings over and over and over with clients each and every 4 months for the rest of their life. So the point I'm making is you're going to meet with every ideal client once every 4 months. You're going to be having one of these meetings because you cycle through these. You're going to be having a meeting with a client every 4 months, and that just basically means that you're going to be meeting with every client in any given four-month period. So we call this a meeting cycle. So one client meeting cycle is 4 months. Now, let's get back to the expectations that you set on your subject matter experts to make sure that their standards are high enough to actually impress clients. What we recommend is that you allow each subject matter expert one client meeting cycle. That's 4 months. That's 120 days. To actually demonstrate that they're up to these high standards that will impress a client, that they're capable of impressing clients who meet your ideal client profile. I mean, I worked in a corporate environment. I worked for a Wall Street-based firm, and I can tell you years ago, when we hired people, pretty much everybody was hired on a 90-day probation. So, you know, we give people 90 days to prove they're up to the job. So I think 120 days is more than reasonable. They have 120 days to prove to you that they are capable and up to the task. If they do meet the standard and they convince you that they're capable of impressing clients, then of course you lavish them with praise. You establish them as role models for the other subject matter experts. You praise their work and you point it out as, you know, work to emulate by the other subject matter experts. So, you know, these are your A players and you need to treat them and treasure them and treat them well. But if they don't meet the standard, here's the mistake. Don't wait. Don't wait two meeting cycles. Don't let, you know, that's 8 months. Don't let a year go by and you're still sitting there thinking, I've got this one person on my team that's not impressive. The minute you spot it, you know, give them one meeting cycle. Give them 120 days to prove they're up to this. But after that, don't wait. Immediately begin quietly interviewing candidates and replace the individual. I think it is only fair once you quietly begin seeking candidates to replace an individual subject matter expert that you do sit them down and put them on notice. I think it's only fair to them to let them know that the stakes are high. We call this a shape up or ship out meeting. You sit down and you tell them, you've got to shape up or I'm going to have to ship you out. I'm going to have to find somebody else that is capable of impressing my clients. And I can tell you, sometimes they step up, Oftentimes they don't. And you just, you know, you'll never regret quickly replacing them. And I think getting your mind set on this, because it's hard enough to get your team in place. To get five subject matter experts on a team is a task in and of itself. And so it's a chore. And it takes, you know, you're adding subject matter experts about once every 60 days. So if you're starting from scratch, I mean, that's quite some time. So that's 10 months to build a team if you don't have a single team member at the beginning. So if you're adding a subject matter expert every 6 months and you're starting from scratch, it took you 10 months to build the team. Now you're sitting there thinking, the team's not impressing the client. Well, this is a process. And once you get the team in place, it's your job to spot quickly whether a subject matter expert's actually up to this job. Most are not. So that's why we spend so much time. And that's one of your monthly projects that you'll be getting along the line as well. Our 12-step deliverables team recruitment process. Whenever you get that monthly project, you'll notice the whole project is designed around identifying whether a subject matter expert actually has a robust process in place and that they already have clients that meet your ideal client profile. So they have to convince you at the front end. So in the deliverables team recruitment process, you'll invest a lot of time and you're going to be very careful before you invite somebody onto the team. But then once they're on the team, it's their responsibility to do the work and to prove to you that they're the real deal. And when they don't, or if they don't, it's your job not to wait. It's your job to begin the process of replacing them by initiating the 12-step deliverables team recruitment process. Just gear it up again and replace them. And nothing else you can do. Final question. How do I measure success with Truly Comprehensive Financial Services and Advisor Pact? What do I tell my team that the objective measurement of success is so that we all know that we're all succeeding? Okay. As I often say, almost everything, you know, before you got involved in the Advisor Pack monthly program, you know, you're trying to grow your back end of your business. You're trying to, you know, you're reading articles on practice management. I guess my point is that almost everything other than in this program, almost everything you read about developing your practice, organizing your practice, delivering services to clients, nearly everything out there that you read is about tactics. You know, this investment's better than that investment, or this tax advantage, or that tax loophole is better than this other one, or maybe sales tips, which don't create additional client value, but they help you articulate better, you know, kind of from a sales standpoint. Rick Barrera, my good friend Rick Barrera, says that strategy is either changing the game or changing the way the game is played. So your job, you've been thinking about this and thinking, I don't want to swim in the same ocean as every other financial advisor. I want to create a blue ocean. Your competitors, the other financial advisors, are out there playing basketball. You want to be playing rugby. You want to be playing a completely different game, a game that's way more well aligned with what ideal clients actually want. Now, let me pause and just say that you've already accepted, because we've talked about it, you are well aware that not every client is actually seeking comprehensive financial services. It's not for every client. You know that coming in up front, because we talk about it all the time. The point is that the reality is there are millions of multimillionaires out there who actually are seeking truly comprehensive financial services, and they cannot find it anywhere at any price. That's your competitive advantage. That's where you've decided to change the game. You're going to deliver something that the other financial advisors are not. So rather than compete with other financial advisors, you chose to change the game. So what you're doing is you're merging a new mindset with a new business model. Okay, so think about this. Maybe you've never thought about it this way before. You've got both a new mindset and you've got a new business model. So what's your new mindset? Well, your new mindset is advisor packed. I'm going to align my business and filter everything that we do for clients through these four things. Does it protect the client? Does it pay attention to the client? Does it coordinate with the others on the team? And is it fully transparent? So everything you do is a new mindset. You don't do anything for a client that's not filtered through advisor pact. That's your mindset. And your new business model, well, that's easy. It's truly comprehensive financial services. So let's talk for just a second about what is this new game? What is this new business model? Well, the new business model, it's a paradigm shift for both advisors and clients, but this is where you've changed the game. It's fee for service typically. We don't, you know, you can charge however you want to charge. For some advisors, you know, they get worked up about this because they're thinking, I don't even know how to charge a simple fee for service. So maybe for a while, it's a period of transition where you're charging the way you are now. And then you've just got a mindset for this new paradigm that over the years, and as quickly as you can, you're going to try to shift your business model and the way you're compensated to a flat fee for service, which is kind of the way the industry is moving. This certainly way the clients are moving mentally that they prefer. But nevertheless, this is the new paradigm, fee for service, comprehensive financial services, as opposed to every other advisor out there that may be good at one or two areas of financial advice. You know, maybe they do a financial plan and then they recommend a few investments, but they don't coordinate all the investments and they don't talk to the tax people and it's not fully transparent. There are some hidden charges and the client's not sure 100% what they're paying. As a matter of fact, when you corner a lot of affluent clients and say, what exactly are you paying for the services that you're getting from your financial advisor? You'll find highly successful multimillionaires say silly things like, I don't think they're charging me anything. When the more they think about it, they know that there's some way that everybody's getting paid. There's no free lunch. But nevertheless, you're delivering fee for service, comprehensive financial services. You're coordinating things. You're making sure it's all transparent, paying close attention. And there's this whole seismic shift in your business model from client managed to advisor managed. So whereas before, clients are used to doing things themselves, coordinating the financial people themselves. You know, if there's any coordination at all, it's the client doing it. And if an advisor, if they're lucky enough to, in the old traditional model, to stumble across an advisor who actually does create a simple list of action items that are required for the advisor to be on track, it's usually handed to the client with the advisor smiling and saying, hey, get these things done. And so it's the client who's managing the list. Whereas in this model, the paradigm shift is, as much as possible, the shift is you and your team are trying to figure out how to get these things done so that the client walks out of the meeting with no action items, as much as possible. So it's a challenge for your team to figure out how can we take these things off the client's plate so that their list is very small. This is what clients are willing to pay more and substantially more for. And you're going to take excellent care of what I would say fewer clients. So it's a whole different paradigm where you just do a whole lot more service, but for a whole lot fewer clients. It's kind of a concierge service. And you're going to deliver on these four client expectations: protection, attention, coordination, and transparency. Your whole new business model is focused and built around these elements, things that will completely change the way. It's a paradigm shift for both you and for the client. The client will look at this and say, I've never seen this before. So your question is, how do you measure success? Well, I may be introducing a term that you're unfamiliar with. Again, at some point in the future, if you have not already received this as a monthly project, then I'm telling you, at some point in the future, you will receive the Advisor Value Score monthly project. This is a specific way to measure success, to survey clients and to make sure that you're indispensable and that clients will refer you. And we've even described this in the archive of these past monthly sessions. So if you have not received this monthly project, if you'll just go through the archive or search for the Advisor Value Score, go back and listen to the thumbnail sketch of how this advisor value score works. But all that to say this, I'm just kind of previewing this. If you obviously, in asking this question, you have not received this particular monthly project yet. So I'm going to give you a much simpler measure. There's something that you can implement immediately, something a simple measure which is highly accurate that you can actually implement immediately today. And it's referrals. If all you measure is the rate that you're receiving referrals and look for increases in those rates, the most relevant measure of success, and you should tell your team this, is referrals. Now, you're tax subject matter expert or you're estate planning lawyer, you're estate subject matter expert may tell you, what's that got to do with me? How am I in control of the referrals that you get? And how's that my problem? This is really one of the most key concepts that you need to convey to your team. And it is that we are here to impress the clients. We're not here to impress ourselves. We're not going to sit around as a group and agree amongst ourselves that what we are providing to clients is impressive. No, we're going to test it and measure it. We're not going to stop increasing the value that we provide to our clients' lives. We're not going to stop asking clients, what do you want in terms of value in your financial life for things to be done for you financially? Until the clients are impressed. And we know that the clients are impressed when they can't resist telling everyone they care about us. So if your team is so good, the clients will recognize it. And the single simple way to measure this is by increased referral rates. And you can just and need to just communicate this clearly to your team. I believe you can do this as a team of subject matter experts. I believe that you can deliver services that are actually impressive to ideal clients. I believe that you can harness your experience with people that meet our ideal client profile and deliver a level of service that, as a team, is so remarkable that every ideal client at some point, whether they're out on the golf course or at a backyard barbecue in their neighborhood or sitting on the board of a charity or they're just talking with friends and family about their financial affairs, when others are telling them about their financial situation and maybe even complaining about their financial advisor, the question on the table is your team impressive enough to where your client just can't stand it? They have to say something. They have to stand up and say, you don't have to have your financial life like that. My financial life is in perfect order. I have a financial advisor who's backed up by a team of skilled subject matter experts. I meet with my advisor every 4 months, and I'm always on track. I'm always on track to my objectives. My team pays attention and protects my back. And this team is extraordinary. I am constantly making smarter choices about and smarter decisions about my finances because this team is in place. And this team is so proactive that nothing ever blows up. I don't have tax surprises anymore. I don't have all these problems that you're describing as they're talking to their friends and family. So that's the point I'm making. There is a more sophisticated way to measure this, but starting on day one, if you can just communicate to your team, our job together is to deliver a level of value to clients that that impresses them. And that will show up in increased referral rates, when they begin introducing us to everyone they know and that they love and that they care about, then I'll be seeing those rates of referrals increase, and then we'll know. We will know that this group of ideal clients that we've got is actually impressed with this team, and that's the measure. Well, that's it for the September 20th. Advisor Pack monthly session. As always, we wish you all the best in implementing. And until next month, I'm Mark Little.